Feel the Spirit? Do you feel the Spirit, Kit? I know you do. Kit and I go back a long way, and it's always so much fun to be with you and with you and with you. It's great to be back. So just feel that Spirit. You know, that's why we come to church on Sunday mornings, isn't it? To really feel that Spirit. So as you're feeling that Spirit, open your crown and open your heart and open your very being and just feel it moving. Feel the Spirit. Feel the love. Feel it moving in and through this ministry. It's so great to see you all here this morning. You know, sometimes when a minister like my friend Ellen goes on sabbatical, people go with her. So I'm all glad you're still here. So in the Spirit of feeling the Spirit moving, I like to know that Spirit moves in and through me when I'm, you know, up here and I'm giving my talks and I'm preparing my talks and I'm leading meditations. And I came across this story of this minister named Joseph who was letting the Spirit move in through him. And he was in the first time ever in this church, and he got to do a children's lesson. And because it was his first time ever in the church, he was really, really aware. And he was really aware of this incredible stained glass way at the front. And he thought, you know, I'm just going to do a lesson on that because it's so beautiful. So he had all the kids, and he's talking to the kids, and he says, you know, look at all those little tiny panes of glass. It takes every single one of them to create the beautiful picture. And he's going on and gone, and then he looks at one little boy, and he says, and you know what? You are just a little pane. He didn't stop there. And he said, and you're a pain, and you're a pain, and you're a little pain, and you're a little pain. And then he got it. Whoops. So, you know, if I say to you, you're just a little pain, know that I'm saying it with the most love that I have. Sometimes it's a good idea to second guess God. Sometimes it's a good idea to pay attention to the greater picture, the greater, you know, the greater container of what's coming out of your mouths. But, you know, most of the time, we can really trust that Spirit's moving in and through us. And I can bet that there were a lot of people in that church who never forgot that lesson. They may have gone home and used it on their kids. I'm not sure how effective that could have been. But have you ever second-guessed God? Ever in your life? A couple people say yes. Has anybody in here ever not done a second-guessing act? You know, we get these divine ideas. I've had a lot of divine ideas in my life, and sometimes a divine idea comes through, and you go, that is so right, and you follow it, and you follow it, and then you go, wait a minute, what happened to my divine idea? It's not coming manifest. Where is it? What happened to it? And you go, what? So I was going to title this talk, what? But I didn't know how to put it on the screen, and I didn't know Cindy would be here. She'd be able to figure it out. What? Like, really? Like, really? Sherry, in her introduction of me, mentioned that I was in Unity of Austin for about 4 years, and a couple years ago, I started to get this call, and there's a number of Unity Center of Austin people here with us today. So you were in the midst of that call, and there were more than one of us going, what? Really? Really? I mean, really? And this was my mantra for the next 2 years from the moment of that call to Spirit, right? Really? You know, I'd be in my meditation, I'd be in my journaling, and these ideas would come, and I'd be asked, you know, I'm being asked by Spirit to do all kinds of wonderful and amazing things. I'm being asked by Spirit to let go of everything. Everything. And so my mantra was, you can say it with me. Really? 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 Yes, really. Really. And so the question came to me in thinking about this talk and thinking about coming back to Wimberley and coming back to Texas and to really look at the whole concept of second-guessing God. And I was thinking about Job. You know, there's a whole chapter about Job in our scriptures, our Old Testament. And Job's life was going really, really well. Everything was going good. And yet he finds himself, I'm not going to give you the whole story. Those of you who know the story will know I'm paraphrasing. Those of you who don't know the story, just know I'm paraphrasing. And basically he loses everything. Everything is taken away. And we often talk about that part of the story of Job. But in the very last chapter of Job, I'm going to read to you what it says. And I have to read to you from my new evolving Bible. I know, it's nice, isn't it? It does match my dress. Yes, it's got the same little sparkles. Yes, it was planned that way. And then Job answered the Lord. He says, I know that you can do all things, and no plan of yours can be ruined. You asked, who is this that made my purpose unclear by saying things that are not true? Surely I talked about things I did not understand. I spoke of things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will ask you questions, and you must answer me. My ears have heard of you before, but now my eyes have seen you. I will change my heart and life and sit in the dust and ashes. And there's a couple of points in that little phrase that I think are important. And one of them is, we've spoken of things that I didn't yet know. That God knows, Spirit knows so much more than what we can ever begin to see. A lot of the work that I've been doing the last couple of years has been playing in the field of conscious evolution. Are you aware of conscious evolution? Birth 2012, Barbara Marx Hubbard? A little bit here and there. But the idea of conscious evolution is that we are an evolving being. No news to us. That we are ever evolving, but it lays out our life, like our situation, like our circumstance, like our moment, over a 14 billion year cycle, 14 billion years in the past, and I don't know how many billion years in the future. And so you begin to get a sense that what you're standing in right now, what we're standing in right now as a culture, as a humanity, is not really that big a deal in the great perspective of things. So probably most of us have had a time in our life where something is like just huge in our face. Just huge. Something is going on, maybe a health challenge, a relationship challenge, a career challenge, you know, something. And you just can't see. You just can't see the whole picture. So when we're second-guessing God, we're going, really? What? And yet if we can begin to step back, and begin to step back a little further and begin to gain a greater perspective, one that has a broader view, then we can begin to see that all things are just a little pane of the stained glass window. That all things are a part of our evolution. Now, in Unity, we've been around for a long time, and we kind of got a little reputation for everything is bright and wonderful and beautiful, and that's true, right? All things are bright and wonderful and beautiful. And yet what that did to our movement over time is it didn't give us room for those of us who were challenged. He said, oh, don't worry about it, it'll be fine. And that is true. However, if you're in a place of fear, or you're in a place of worry, or you're in a place of pain, and somebody comes to you and says, don't worry about it, it'll be fine, how do you feel? Not so honored, valued, heard, seen, not so good, right? Right? But if you can go, it's like if all things are working together for a greater good, if all things, and those are the things that we cannot see because we're in human body, human perspective, and we play over the idea of conscious evolution, how do those work together? Well, if we're in conscious evolution and what we are evolving to, and we are evolving as a humanity. We are evolving from Homo sapiens, humanity as we know it, humanity that believes in separation and unworthiness and not good enough and fear and pain and competition and all of those things that we are, generally speaking. We are evolving into what's being called the universal human. Or if you go back to scriptures, the Christedness. It is time. It is time right here, right now, that all of humanity, not just a couple people like, you know, Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad and, you know, a couple others of us, other people on the planet maybe, but all of us, to awaken to that Christ potential, to allow it to arise up, to birth it, to step into our divinity in a no-kidding kind of way. Now, in Unity, we've talked about it for 140 years. How's it working for you? Pretty well. Pretty well, but now it's time to take it all the way. To take it all the way. So when something comes up and you hit one of those pockets of fame, of fame, oh, maybe that's the same thing. Could be. Never put it that way. But if you hit a pocket of something, you know, and the emotions, our emotional bodies, you know, and we hit a pocket of maybe resistance or anger or grief, and what we know in the evolution, in the grand perspective, is that anything that is emotional that has not moved through us is stuck. And if we can come to a place where we are, where we have the tools and we have the willingness to allow it to process through in order to be transcended and released, then we are clearing out the way for that divinity within us to awaken now. Anybody want to play? Yeah. Yeah. So, back to Job. So there was these things that I could not yet see, yet God had a plan. Yet God had a greater plan. I spoke of things too wonderful for me to know. Same thing. Too wonderful for me to know because I'm in limited human perspective. All I can see is what I can see until I can see something different and bigger and broader. My ears had heard of you before, but now my eyes have seen you. Now my eyes have seen you. And that's about taking it from our minds into our being, from our head to the heart, from the outer to the inner. It's about really taking that journey deep into the center of your being where you come to know yourself. And that's what this scripture is also saying. When you come to know God, when you come to know that there is a greater plan, it's easier to stand in it. It's maybe not easier to stand in, but it's easier to breathe through it. It's easier to step into a place where you come to know yourself. And as you come to know yourself, you come to know God. And as you come to know God, you come to know all of creation. And when you come to know all of creation, you begin to stop second-guessing God quite so much. And when you find yourself second-guessing God again, you remember quicker. Oh, there must be something here I do not yet see. Oh, there must be something bigger moving in and through and around and through me. And so as we stand in this year, 2012, and we stand in the midst of all the chaos on this planet. And would you not agree there's chaos on our planet? There may not be chaos in this ministry or in your lives. You might be all the ones who have it all mastered and handled. And so that's great if you do. But if you know somebody who's experiencing chaos, and you can begin to frame it in that is a perfect opportunity. Now, don't say that to somebody who's hurting. You know, just don't do that, okay? We call that metaphysical malpractice, so just stop it. But say it to yourself. What in me is being pushed up? What in me is being pushed into? What is being called up to be released in me in order for more love to appear, in order for more support from the universe to show up, in order for more of my divine light to shine clearly out into the world. It truly, truly is time for us to bring the teachings of Jesus onto this planet. And I've been talking to a lot of Unity people over the last few months, and a lot of people, even the ministers, will say things like, isn't that what we've been doing? I'm like, yeah, in theory, let's bring it into practice. Let's step into the place where we have such trust. Okay, breathe, exhale, it's okay. It's not a bad word. When we have such trust, where we come to the place where we are so trusting ourselves, not our ego, not our personality, not our agenda, not our need to be right, because we all know people who trust ourselves, I know I'm right. Right? Yeah. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about trusting that part of ourselves that says, you know, maybe you're right. And coming back to choose love, coming back to choose compassion, coming back to choose kindness. Because it truly is love that will carry us forward. But we can't discover that love at a deeper level without letting go of something that's kept us from love. So, think about a time you second-guessed God. Think about a time where you chose to be right, maybe. Think about a time when that might be happening now, or a situation that might be happening now. It's like, how could I stand in this without second-guessing God? How could I come into a place where I'm seeing a bigger picture, where I'm seeing a wider perspective? And how could I just bring a little more lightness into this moment? Because we take this stuff. Well, let me rephrase how I was going to say that. We take ourselves so seriously. And we need to take our spiritual practice seriously, but we can start taking ourselves less seriously, right? And what if we took ourselves a little less seriously? What if we came into a place? Now, here's a possibility. What if we came into a place right now today? I mean, you know, you're open to miracles, right? Three people are open to miracles. It's cool. Cool. So the rest of you can tag along because it works. Where we came, where we had an experience, where we could have an experience, not because of me or not because of Kit, well, probably because of Kit, but probably it was the drum and the bass, really. But where we had an experience where our heart broke open, where something slipped in, and you experienced the truth that you are God's beloved, that you are God's beloved. And that you are here to make manifest the glory of spirit on this planet by awakening. And by being exactly who you already are. You don't have to change. You just have to let go of some of the stuff that keeps you from being who you are. You just get to come into a place where you start having breakthroughs, where things start to move in your life. Anybody in here have something that you've worked on for maybe, say, more than a decade that still shows up? That's what we're talking about getting through now. That's what we're talking about breaking through. That's what we're talking about surrendering, letting go, releasing. So how do you quit second-guessing God? Well, first you trust. You trust in that which is greater than what you can see. And then you practice patience. Now, don't ever affirm patience, because we know what we affirm, we get more of. But you practice patience. You practice patience by going, wow, I don't see it now, but I know I will. I know. I'm just on the edge of seeing exactly what it is I need to see here that will allow me to break through that, that will allow me to step into a new consciousness in myself. And I know that you're doing that here in this ministry. I know that you're doing that in your lives. And we're called now to play at a new level, especially those of us in New Thought, because we have the teachings. The teachings are familiar to us. And now it's time. What would I need to do? What would I need to do? And I'm talking, you know, not me. Please don't tell me what I need to do. But tell yourself what you need to do. Ask yourself, what do I need to do to experience more love? What do I need to do to open my heart just a little further? Are you willing to risk? Because it is a risk. It is a risk to become vulnerable to yourself, to become vulnerable to spirit, to become vulnerable to those you love. But it is that vulnerability that the truth of who you are begins to awaken, begins to stand forth. It gets uncovered, and you can step into that. And as you do that, here's my promise to you, as you do that, you will discover a greater sense of fulfillment in your life. And it's not about the stuff, and it's not about the material, but it comes from within. You will discover, and I promise this to you, a sense of contentment that will take you by surprise. It's like, wow, I'm really content. Now, we all talk about divine discontent, and that's okay too. But that sense of content and that sense of fulfillment that comes when you awaken, it will transcend all of the challenge. And life is not going to quit happening. Okay? Life is going to keep happening. We're going to keep having the challenges. We're going to keep having the bumps. We're going to keep having... You know, I was so proud of myself. Yeah, you got it. Never a really good thing to do. I'm like, yeah, well, I travel a lot. I travel, like, a lot. And last week, or been, I don't know, a little bit longer than that anyway, I'm getting on the airplane, and I'm going on this 10-day family reunion on the Oregon coast, and there's going to be like 35 of us, and it's like everything is just going to go so smooth, and I knew it. I just knew it. I mean, I didn't, yeah, I wasn't like affirming it. I just knew it. I got up, and I'm like, yep, let's get to the airport. We get to the airport, and my husband's flight standby, so that's always interesting, and we call. Oh, yeah, lots and lots of seats. No problem. That's why we picked that flight. So we go, and we're early because that's what you do when you're standby, and there's nobody at our gate. And so fine, he goes over to another gate, and the lady over there says, oh, you're not getting out today. He goes, I just talked to him. There was so many seats. She goes, well, here's what happened. The plane that came in that you're supposed to go out on has a mechanical issue, so we're switching planes. We're putting you on a different plane, and there's not enough seats for the paid passengers. You go, oh. Well, so we got to breathe through that moment, and then went over to our gate, and he said, so I hear there's not enough seats. She goes, oh, no, there's plenty of seats. Our gate, right? She hadn't gotten the memo yet. And she goes, wait a minute. I just got it. No, you're right. You're not getting out today. Second-guessing God. Anyway, the story goes on, but the bottom line is, you know, if you can trust that there's a greater process, if you can trust that there is a bigger picture happening, then you can glide through life happening. And I know changing flights and missing a day on your family vacation is not the end of the world, but even the things that feel like the end of the world, you begin to slide through them. You begin to glide through them in a much deeper, wider, greater, wiser way. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to move into a time of meditation, and we're going to go into an experience of this as a possibility. So if you will, just move your body a little bit, get comfortable in your chair, and take a deep breath in. And a big inhale. And as you exhale, allow your body to relax. Drop your shoulders. Loosen your jaw, unclench your hands, and drop your awareness into your body, moving down through your head, your neck, your shoulders, your torso, your back, belly, your hips. Moving that same energy and the same awareness down through your legs, through the bottoms of your feet, and into the earth. And feel your connection with this amazing, beloved, sacred place, planet Earth. Feel your connection with all of creation, with Mother God, and feel that energy going back through evolution to the very beginning of time where there was no thing. And out of no thing came a force, an impulse so great that there became all thing. And from all thing, the creation of the universe and the planets and life, and animal life and human life. And human life as we know it today. And feel that same impulse moving in and through you, calling you, pushing you, lifting you. Feel the impulse. Feel the birth that is wanting to take place. The awakening, the birth, the realization of your own Christ presence, your divinity. Feel your divinity awakening now. And in that awakening, know that you are love. Know that you are safe. Know that you are one with all that is an infinite possibility. And from here, feel your energy rising even higher up through your crown, up through the universe, and into the cosmos. And from the cosmos, feel a love pouring into you. Again, with an impulse, with a quickening, with an awakening. And landing in that heart of hearts, your deeper, wiser, wider heart, your spiritual heart. Feel yourself. Feel yourself with confidence. Feel yourself breaking through the next thing for you. Feel yourself walking right through it, letting it go, dropping it, surrendering it, and being filled with a greater love. Feel yourself emerging, integrating with that higher self of you, with your soul's full potential. And feel the wisdom and the perspective and the love filling your heart. Embracing you. Permeating you, enveloping you. And this love that you are expands and extends beyond you, filling this room, touching the person in front of you and behind you, the person to your right, the person to your left. Feel the love pouring from you and into you. And we extend it to include this entire ministry. And we expand it to encompass our globe, every person on every continent. Feel what happens when every soul alive on this planet knows love. And allow that love to come all the way right back around and re-enter your own heart. Breathing in this love, let it move you, let it transform you, let it heal you. And in this place, let your heart be filled with gratitude. Thank you. Father, Mother, God, beloved presence, infinite possibilities, infinite spirit, all of creation. Thank you. We allow that gratitude to leave a song in our heart, a smile on our lips, and a twinkle in our eyes. We claim it. We proclaim it. We accept it. And so it is, and so it shall be.